Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. This is episode 173, where we pause and open up God's word and see what he has to say for another day. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. We've been working our way through the Gospel of Matthew, and we find ourselves in the first major section, which is the first 21 verses, continuing through, of course, the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sermons, or probably the most famous sermon of all time. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be turning, as I say, to Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this teaching by Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd help us to benefit from your word, that you'd use it to conform us to be more like our wonderful Saviour and elder brother. May we follow you faithfully, and may you bless us with yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the things we've been commenting on over and over again is that Jesus is wanting people to live lives in accordance with the kingdom of God. He's addressing disciples, followers, people like you and me, and he's wanting us to be faithful as his people. There is a code of conduct for those who claim to be disciples of Christ, for those who will be kingdom citizens. In this section here, Jesus is focusing on rewards. It's probably one of the areas that the church has sometimes struggled to articulate well, the reality that in the kingdom of God, there is a reward system. We're not talking about salvation, of course, we know that, because the people that Jesus is addressing are saved. He's addressing those who are in the kingdom of God and telling them how to live their life. But he's talking about how faithfulness and living as kingdom citizens has an outcome. And there is a reward to be had. And so one of the things you may have picked up as we read through this was this refrain which keeps sounding in our ears. Truly, they have received their reward, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So there is a kingdom reward for those who are faithful to Christ. There will be, as the New Testament tells us, a day of reckoning. There's the first day of judgment where God sifts and deciphers between the righteous and the unrighteous, between those in Christ and outside of Christ, and he separates the sheep from the goat. But then there's also that sense after that, in the second judgment, if you want to call it that, where God rewards those who have been faithful to him, those who have lived a life that is God glorifying and God honoring. Now, regardless of how that reward system works, the one thing we know about it is that it is all of grace. And it is vastly greater than what we deserve. We all know that, but it's important to remember that as we think about rewards. But what does Jesus say about rewards? How are kingdom citizens to work in order to receive a reward? And he touches on a bunch of different aspects about the Christian life, about the life that we should be living. And firstly, he talks about giving, doesn't he? So in verse 2 through to 4, he talks about giving. And he introduces this whole thing with that word in verse 1. Don't practice your righteousness before others, because then you won't have a reward. And so firstly, as we think about giving, he says, don't give in the way that the people in the synagogues do, the hypocrites, because they do it in order to be praised by men. And so what they would often do is they would, as they're giving a reward, they would have someone announcing it. They would have trumpets being blown. And so their tithe, their gift would be visible for everyone to see, because they didn't want anyone to miss out on the fact that they were doing something God-honoring. And Jesus points out that they have indeed received their reward. And what he means by that is they've sought the praise of men in the way they've given their gift, and they've received it. And so they can't expect a reward from their Father in heaven. And of course, the logical conclusion is because they're not doing it for their Father in heaven. In fact, the Father is not their Father in heaven, because they worship men. They worship the praise of men. And we see that in John later on, when it says that many of the Pharisees wanted to become disciples, but they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. So how are we to give? How are kingdom citizens to give? Well, he has this beautiful saying that we all know very well. You don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, as you give in such a way that you don't know that it's happening. It's not that you don't know it's happening, but you do it with the attitude that you don't want anyone to know. Maybe you've experienced this in your life. You've had someone give you a gift and you've said, oh, what can I do for you? And they say, nothing, nothing. They don't want anyone to know. I remember we received a care package from a church one time because we were struggling financially when I was a student. And they just turned up, dropped it off, and left. They didn't say anything. They just left it on our doorstep. And to this day, we don't know who in particular gave us that gift. We just know someone from the church felt a need and gave it. And they never received any praise from us, nor anyone else that we know of. But their Father who saw in secret knew it, knows it, and will reward them for that. So we don't give in order to receive. We just give. Because as Jesus has said previously in other passages, we give because we have received. What about prayer? How do we pray? Well, we don't pray like the hypocrites who stand on the street corner. So you could picture them, can't you? These hypocrites that Jesus speaks of, the Pharisees and Sadducees and others. And they would stand on the corner and stand there boldly with their chests puffed out and speak loudly and pray loudly so that everyone can see them. Because, again, they're worshipping men, aren't they? They're worshipping the praise of men. That is their God. They receive their reward, Jesus says. But rather, we are to go and close the door behind us. We're to have a prayer closet where we can sit quietly in secret before our Father and pray. Now, Jesus isn't saying you have to have a closet in which you can shut the door, and if you can't shut the door, then it doesn't constitute as good prayer. But his point is that when you pray, you should pray in a way that you don't care about the people around you. Jesus isn't discrediting public prayer meetings. but rather the attitude of the person praying should be one in which you don't care if people see you. In fact, you'd rather they didn't see you. There should be a forgetfulness about self as you pray, a forgetfulness of others. And I mean, for myself, as a person who prays at the front of church, this is really hard. It can be really easy to allow your prayers to become tainted and twisted by a consciousness of the people around you. And for you who are parents who pray with your children and pray in front of your family, there can be a challenge, can't there? Going to prayer meetings and the people are there listening to you. And so you pray with a mind which is actively thinking about the people around you. Jesus says, don't do that. Prayer is between you and God. As one preacher I heard say, when he leads at the front of church and as he publicly prays, he visibly pictures Jesus sitting up in the back row and listening to him pray. And he's talking to him and him alone. You see, when we pray, especially publicly, we don't pray to the people around us. We pray to our Father in heaven. And he gives us the Lord's Prayer, and we won't go into that today. But notice just how forgetfulness it is. Forgetfulness. It's not about us. We pray to our Father in heaven, and it's simple, and it's easy. It's not bloated up with words. It's not filled with fluff, but it's direct and to the point. But then there's the fasting issue. So we give in a certain way, we pray in a certain way, and then we fast in a certain way. Maybe you've heard people say that, Christians don't have to fast. Well, that's just not true. Fasting has been in the church a gloriously good thing. Has been practiced wrong, but very often it's been practiced well. It's said that John Calvin used to fast twice a week as he dedicated himself to God. There is something wonderful about fasting. If you've never done it, I'd suggest you try it. Half a day or a whole day, set aside a day. And instead of eating, that hour or half an hour that you would spend eating, spend it reading the scriptures and praying. I tell you, by the end of the day, your prayers will be very concentrated. It's actually incredible, because even the hunger itself will drive the intensity of your prayer. As you remember every day, as your stomach growls, you remember that there is a Father in heaven who loves you, and you're communing with him. You're spending time with him. So the hypocrites, they would disfigure themselves. They would make themselves look gloomy and sad. They wouldn't comb their hair. They wouldn't tidy their clothes. They would leave themselves looking ruffled. And you could imagine them, can't you, going around, oh, my stomach. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, what's wrong, brother? Oh, I'm fasting at the moment. Just so hungry. And the people around them would say, oh, how godly you are for fasting and giving up food. You must be such a noble Christian. Jesus says, don't do that. Do your hair, comb your beard, put your best clothes on, put your makeup on, dress yourself nicely, put a smile on your face and walk out into the world, walk out into the church. And when people say, how are you doing today? I'm doing fantastic. And if someone knows you're fasting and they say, are you hungry? Say, I'm enjoying time with the Lord. Why? Because you're doing it to God. You're not doing it to man. And what's the point of all this? Well, the point of all this is really summarized in 19 to 21, where Jesus says that we don't lay up treasures for ourselves here, but in heaven. You see, when we seek the praise of men, we're seeking a reward here and now, a reward which dies when we die. I mean, what really, how long does the praise of your neighbor last? Not very long, does it? It doesn't take much for him to start thinking of you as an idiot instead of thinking you as a godly person. So rather, Jesus says, fix your eyes above, not on earthly things, but on rewards in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, the way we act expresses the desire of our heart. If we love the praise of men, like the Pharisees and the hypocrites, it shows that our love is for men. Our heart is fixated upon what we can receive here and now. But we're called as kingdom citizens to be focused upon our Father in heaven, our real home, because at the end of the day, we are not citizens of this world. We may live in this world, we may live in our kingdom here, but ultimately we live in the kingdom of God. And like Bunyan so beautifully told the story, we are pilgrims on a journey, aren't we? Traveling to our real home, the celestial city. And so we focus upon the rewards which come there and not the rewards that come here. It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to do everything with a certain twist. So we initiate conversation. If you've fasted, it's very easy to say to people, "Oh man, I'm quite hungry today." And the reason you do that is because you want them to ask. Or you say to people, "Oh, I've been struggling with my prayer life lately." And they say, "Oh, why?" So, "Oh, it's been hard, but today I'm focusing really hard on praying." Or you say, "Oh, I'm doing quite tight for money this week." And they say, "Why?" So, "Well, I decided to give $1,000 to the church." You see, it's very easy to manipulate and twist everything that's going on around us so that men would see what we're doing. But we're called not to have eyes for men, but to have eyes for God. It's a challenge, but it's a worthy challenge with a worthy reward. Because after all, isn't that what Jesus did? He who humbled himself in the form of a servant. He who put up with the shame of the cross for the joy set before him. Let us be like Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this teaching on treasures in heaven. And we pray that you'd help us to seek things above and not things below. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in with me for another week of devotions. It's been great to be together, great to open up God's word. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. I will see you back here next week, Tuesday, as we kick off back in Matthew chapter 6. Have a most blessed day, and I will see you there.